thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, people of the way. You are the way. You've heard of John. He wasn't a Baptist. He wasn't a Presbyterian. He wasn't a Methodist. He wasn't a Lutheran. He wasn't a Roman Catholic, an Orthodox Catholic. He was John. As you'll see in our reading this morning, the church Bibles is on page 1017. It's a chapter, first chapter of Luke, starting at the 57th verse. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted to call him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered, and immediately his mouth, that's Zechariah's mouth was opened, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard him laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him in all our ways. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew, became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for showing us examples of both faithfully listening to you and faithlessly failing to believe your message. Forgive us when we fail to give heed to your gentle nudges in your strong written word. Sometimes we become mute when we should open our mouths Many of our friends, family members, and neighbors are dying without you. Give us words fitly spoken, especially so during this Advent season. Words that will bring the gift of Jesus himself into focus. May we also prepare the way of the Lord. As you had with Zechariah, fill our pastor with the Holy Spirit, full of knowledge, love, and wisdom. Give him words fitly spoken for this, your church, the people of the way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have you ever felt stuck in life, wondering what direction you were going to go in, feeling as if your stuckness is a result of a decision you chose not to make, not to follow? After hearing clearly that you should go in a specific direction and you choose not to, and all of a sudden you find yourself stuck, right? I've experienced many of those occurrences in my own life. And I can say this, right, that most of those times that I got myself into a difficult situation or the result of my decisions got me stuck, right? I wanted one thing more than anything: the opportunity to do it again, because I would make a different decision, a different choice, right? And that's what we have here with Zechariah, right? Zechariah is given a second chance. A second chance to hear what the angel Gabriel said to him, and then for him to respond in a way that will verify that he believes. Right? A second chance. And when we stop and think of second chances, right, it's the God of the universe who created everything has created many second chances for you and for me. Right? It's just think about it. Sometimes we are stuck at a job and we want a different job and we don't know when that job is going to come. And all of a sudden it's like, God, when are you going to open a door? Maybe it's a relationship, right? And we're looking for a relationship. We don't know where it's going to come from. We don't know how it's going to happen. But all of a sudden, right, it's we think that by chance God has put us in a place, and it's like, oh, look, it's somebody I can be in a relationship with. Right? But ultimately, it's God that's moving behind the scenes. It could be with our health, right? And all of a sudden, for some of us, as we get the prognosis of our situation, we go and get a second opinion. And in the second opinion, we get the answer we're kind of looking for. A second chance. A second chance to fully commit yourself to what you believe wholeheartedly, right? And that's what we see with Zechariah, right? It's hard to imagine Zechariah, a priest, one who is well educated and knows, right? He is in his current situation because he did not fully grasp what the angel Gabriel said to him early on in Luke. And as a result, he was struck with being mute the entire pregnancy. Right? Just think about that for a minute, not being able to speak a word. Right? I'm sure Elizabeth might have been happy for that. Right? And remember, the last time we looked at the Gospel of Luke, Mary was with Elizabeth, and we saw the interaction of response as Mary approached Elizabeth, and all of a sudden the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped with joy. Right? And so now we're ready, right, to give birth to this baby, and so much expectation is wrapped around this one child, because this one child points to a greater child. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son, and her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord has shown great mercy to her, and they rejoice with her. It's amazing that the birth of a child can bring so much joy. Because remember, at the beginning of Luke, right, it's even though scripture says that they were righteous, the people were treating them with reproach, right? And for them, they just thought that if Elizabeth isn't able to conceive, then it must be that you've sinned. And this is the result of that sin, right? And remember what scripture says, that they were of old age, right? They were beyond their years. And right, that's scripture's way of just saying they're old, right? And but nothing is beyond God's ability and capacity, right? And we see here, right, that the one thing you and I are always constantly seeking, especially when there's tension in relationships and we want to mend those relationships, is the receiving and the extending of mercy, right? We want mercy. And all of a sudden, what we have Elizabeth receiving is not just mercy, but great mercy, right? Because God has done something for her that she was just waiting for something like this to happen. And she probably got to the place in life it would never happen, right? And all of a sudden, here it is, right? Not only was she able to conceive, not only was she able to carry this baby for 9 months, but now being able to give birth, right? So many things could have happened, right? And all of a sudden, to have a son, what a blessing. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they would call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, no. He shall be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by this name. Right? So they bring the child on the eighth day to get circumcised. And at that moment is when you name your child. Traditionally, the child would receive the name of the father. Right? They could call him Zachy, Zach. Right? But she says, no. Right, and you got to kind of remember scripture, because in Luke 1, chapter 13, the angel Gabriel not only says that you're going to have a child, but you're going to name him John. Right? And at this point in time, Elizabeth wasn't going to deviate, right, from what was told her. Right? And she wasn't concerned of what the relatives or the neighbors were going to say. His name is John. Right? You could see it with clarity, with authority. Right? And all of a sudden, right, it's as much as people might have heard her, they then look to Zechariah and say, well, what do you say? But he's mute. Right? He can't say anything. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. Right? And they all wondered. Right? It's so Zechariah questioned, well, how is this going to be? But then in an opportunity of a second chance, he then remembers what the angel Gabriel says, and he didn't become proud. He didn't go, I'm going to name him, he's my boy, right? He's of my best, right? And no, it's his name is John, right? It's he remember what the angel Gabriel said, right? And all the people listening, relatives and all, right? It's now start to wonder, like, what is happening here? And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosened, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all of the hill country of Judea, and all who have heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. Right? It's after he writes, his name is John, his mouth is open. Right? He's been mute this whole time. And also, and by doing the right thing, he gets his voice back. But he doesn't stop by saying, I got my voice back. The first words that come out of his mouth is, bless the Lord. And then as the people are hearing this, they are seeing that God is doing something in Elizabeth's life and in Zechariah's life. And all of a sudden, they're asking the question, what then will this child be? Like, for what purpose did he come? Obviously, God is doing something here with Zechariah and Elizabeth, and this child is going to do something, right? For the hand of the Lord was with him, right? Like, ask yourself, what did the child do at 8 days old, right? Like, the only thing, it's Zechariah obeyed, and all of a sudden he was mute, and now he's speaking, praising, and blessing God. And as a result, that message then travels. Now, from where Zechariah and Elizabeth were, it's the distance is probably from here to the outskirts of Chester, New York, right? So the message started to travel. About what God is doing. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, right? It's because it was beyond his imagination. He did not know he was going to be a father. That story was for other people, not for him. Him and his wife were settling with the idea, you know what, it's just not going to happen. Right? But all of a sudden, as he watched and experienced Elizabeth not only get pregnant, but then month by month, right, her go through her pregnancy, and then eventually for him to see Mary, right, come. Can you imagine? He grabs his son, right, and scripture says, filled with the Holy Spirit, he started to prophesy of what his son would do, right? And all of a sudden, we come into this portion of scripture, which is called the Benedicites, right? And that's where we get our word for benediction, right? It's a good word. And it's because what Zechariah says is to bless God, right? Because of what he has done. And here's what he says. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophet from of old. Right? These words are amazing. Right? Zechariah, he is blessing God for keeping his covenant promise, right? But here's the thing, Zechariah doesn't know yet the fullness of what he is even saying, right? It says that, for he has visited and redeemed his people, right? He's talking about being redeemed when it hasn't happened yet, right? And here's the thing, he has raised up the horn of salvation. That's Jesus, right? That's Jesus Christ himself. But guess what? He's not born yet. For us in the house of his servant David, right? And that's really to fulfill all the prophecies that were spoken over the throne of David, that a human king from this lineage would reestablish his authority as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets. So throughout the Old Testament, all of those prophecies are becoming fulfilled. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant and the oath that he swore to our fathers, Abraham, to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemy, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Right? So you and I are getting saved, saved from our enemies, saved from our sins, saved from this world, so that we, in that posture of being saved, we can serve him. That we would do it without fear. That our enemies are taken care of. Right? Like ask yourself, right? It's like, you might feel that you have some enemies in your life. Right? And I'll say this, right, that those enemies, even though they might hurt you, don't come close to the sin that's in our life. Right? Because sin will do much more harm to us than any enemy can. And this baby is a signpost declaring that there's one who's coming after him. He's saying, I'm important, but I'm not that important. because I am here to proclaim of the one who's coming. Now, this is amazing, right? Because Zechariah, who is the father, all of a sudden, he is taking a lower position in order to raise his son, who's only 8 days old, right? When you think of, well, has he done anything? No, but it's what he's going to do, right? And you, child, right? So now Zechariah is addressing John, right? You see it there, right? And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, right? Can you imagine those words as he's holding his son? You will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. You see what our problem is sin. Right? And also in God, in keeping his covenant promise, is fulfilling those promises through the life of John. To be a prophet of the Most High, the horn of our salvation, Jesus Christ. To proclaim what he's going to do for those who would put their faith and trust in his finished work. Because of the tender mercies of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness. Sometimes we sit in darkness. Sometimes we think the darkness is going to overwhelm us. Sometimes we don't think we're going to catch a breath because we're drowning in this darkness. Right? It's like we sit and go, God, when are you going to give me a breakthrough? When are you going to give me that second chance? Right? And sometimes he's giving us a second chance and we don't even know it. Sit in darkness and in the shadows of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. Right, as long as we keep our eyes on God, right, he will guide us. Scripture says that his word is a lamp onto our feet. He's only going to give us enough to take one step, right? And if you are like me, I want to know where I'm going. Right, I want to plan. It's like, okay, Lord, I want to be prepared, right? And God says, nope, I'm only going to give you enough to take a step, right? So these are the words that Zechariah spoke over his son, right? And then years later, as John grows up, as we don't hear much of him, we only hear after he has grown up, and we hear that in the Gospel of Mark, right? And here's how Mark starts. In the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I sent the messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Right? That's the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. And that is John. John, the one who is the herald of Jesus Christ, the one who is proclaiming he is coming. The one who says, right, it's like, get right with God because he is near. He is the signpost. He is the one who's declaring that God is coming. And that's why you and I should sit right? With that anticipation, because Advent is a time of remembering that he came, but also remembering that he's going to come again. And the thing is, when he comes the second time, he's not coming as an infant. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right? He is not bowing to anybody. And even though when he came the first time, he didn't bow to anybody then. And then this portion of scripture would end just where we picked up in the Gospel of Mark, and the child grew up and became strong in the Spirit. And he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. And when he came, he didn't come for his own glory. He didn't come for his own prestige. He didn't come for his own following, even though he had a following. Right? But he would remind them, and he reminds us, that he was not worthy to untie the sandals of the one who is coming. He's coming. Right? He's coming, and all of that was possible because Zechariah chose to listen to Gabriel. Right? Like when you ask yourself, right, what domino fell first? Right? It's information was given to Zechariah in reference to Gabriel. Right? The baby came. Elizabeth, right, she carried for 9 months, and all of that evidence was in front of him. So it's like, okay, Zechariah, are you going to blow this one? Right? Are you going to say you forgot that the angel told you what name to give him? No, he knew. He knew because all of it was a great blessing. A great miracle to know that the one who was barren would have a child, and that child would proclaim to the world, there's one who's coming, and he's going to do amazing things. He's going to fulfill all of the Old Testament prophecies. He is going to be the horn of our salvation. He is going to be our Redeemer, our Savior, our God. He is the one we worship and should only worship. He is the one who stepped off his throne, wrapped himself in human flesh, in order to die. Before we come to the communion table, here's some trivia that you might find interesting. Right? If I was to ask you the question, when was the first Christmas celebrated? Right? Most of us think, well, it happened just as scripture says. Right? But within the church, the first Christmas that was celebrated was 336 AD, right? 336 years after the birth of Christ was the first celebration in the church, because the church was really focused on celebrating Easter for all those years. Right, and here's how my mind works, right? That the United States next year will celebrate 250 years of its existence. Right now, imagine 336 years before the church celebrates the birth of Christ. Right? Not to say that they didn't have it because it was in scripture, but it wasn't like it is today. Right? And you have to ask yourself, right? It's like, why do we celebrate it today? Right? And I believe it's to highlight God and his ability to proclaim, for prophecy to be fulfilled, but then for us to see, right, that the God of the universe who created everything, right, in the midst of human dysfunction and brokenness, he's a God of second chances. Right? And he gives us these opportunities. And coming to this table is like receiving a second chance, because it's about getting things right with him, right, as we approach the table. Would you pray with me? Lord, we do thank you. Thank you for this story in the Gospel of Luke. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters as they prepare to partake of the table. And I pray that wherever your Holy Spirit finds them, if they need a second chance, Lord, provide it for them, and may they take whatever steps are needed in order to hear and listen to you, our God. Lord, if they are stuck, may they get unstuck. Lord, help us now as we commune with you, our God. We thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.